but he threw like a branch in the general direction. He didn't hit anybody. You know, yeah. It wasn't like it's not like he committed an actual crime. It wasn't attempted assault. Sure. He threw it in the general direction of Tierney Cortez and Linda LaFace.
David. Football. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Oh, yes. A little bit of a cliffhanger there you gave the listener, eh? Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass. Yes, that was the spellbinding tale. It was in honor of Teacher's Day. Teachers Appreciation Day, is that what it was?
Yes.
Earlier in the week, I spun the yarn of when a teacher, I did something I didn't appreciate, so I left school. It was first grade. I just walked out. I left school in the middle to go tell my mother.
First grade.
I didn't care for the deed committed by the teacher, so I had to report on her. People think, you know, here's the thing.
That's how schools get in trouble when first graders disappear. Just so
you know what? You know your stuff because they shut the school down and did a big search.
And they look for you.
A matter of fact, go ahead. Dig up the latest, the last DDFP. I tell the full story there. You do have to sit through about a half an hour or so of Dameshek telling you about why Ben Roethlisberger is not, at least, whether you think he's right or wrong for his reaction to the Steelers drafting Mason Rudolph in the third round. You may think that he's being petulant. You may think he's not being a good teammate or a good leader. This is par for the course with high-end quarterbacks in their mid to late 30s. This is how they behave themselves. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about all of it. Plus, I encourage you, Nate DeMann, go back and dig up on social media. I sat down in Dallas, Texas with Tank Lawrence. We talked about all of it. Dak, Romo, who he likes better, you know, who's more likely between those two to pick up the bill.
All right.
A lot of different stuff that we
And he answered that question.
He answered it all. That was just the tip of the iceberg there. Meantime, let's say hello to the man whose voice you're already hearing. He is seated a couple seats over from my left. We await our pal Handsome Hank arrival. Oh, wow. This is very rude. Very rude on his part to be tardy. Anywho, you hear his voice. He was the first overall draft pick in what, 2005?
2002.
Two.
So long ago.
Whoa.
I know.
I'm legitimately surprised. You're a little older than I thought you were.
Thank you, maybe? Thank you? I don't know how that works.
People say you get better looking
Girls
the
get
older
excited.
You get. Yeah. It's of course, David Carr. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, man. I like your intro music. I was going to see if I could borrow that for a ringtone.
Sure. David.
Just minus the Dameshek, obviously. Yeah,
Ball David.
It's pretty cool.
That works for you. Like sure that. Thing. You know what? I like that. I like you walking out on.
I still have the opera music that they give you. I have never changed it. And someone called me the other day and said, why do you still ask? Because I don't know how to change it.
Eddie Spaghetti, make that so. And while we're in the spirit of giving gifts and all that sort of thing, happy birthday to Eddie Spaghetti. He just turned 17 or something like that?
18.
18.
Yeah.
18
wow.
years of age. That's why you have to
forgive.
You look
a little older than.
Might be.
David Carr, you have to forgive Eddie Spaghetti because you may hear some ridiculous football opinions as
That's
we
fine.
Press forward here.
That wouldn't be the first time.
He's full of them. Now, you spent time in Giants blue.
But he has a New York Yankees jersey on, so he's going to have some pretty good opinions, I would think, on football in general.
Yes.
He's a front runner. Anybody who roots for the Yankees. Gotcha. As I say all the time, if you root for Superman, it's the same thing as being a Yankees fan. You're supposed to win, you know?
I see how that works.
Oh, we did it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Exactly what you were supposed to do.
Yeah, Derek he was a fan of Derek Jeter and the Yankees, my little brother, and a fan of Michael Jordan. And I'm like, you can't pick the best guys all the time. You know, pick an underdog.
Yeah, pick me. Pick your older brother.
Yeah, pick me against Peyton Manning.
The shots have begun.
One game.
The Yankees and Giants may win, but I'm still a fan of the Rangers and the Knicks, unfortunately. So
that's fair.
True enough. Yeah, that's true. Through thick and thin. All right, where to begin with David Carr, a guy who you've been here now for a couple of years at NFL.
I have,
year,
yeah,
right?
A couple years.
Really have enjoyed getting to kibitz with this guy around the hallways. Have been anxious to get him here on the DDFP, and now so he is. And let's get into all of it. I hate to pick up where we left off with this Roethlisberger talk here, but I do feel like we need the insight of a first overall draft pick. Why do you suppose – I was talking with Matt Money Smith, who you know, and Bert Breer, who you know as well, and I said to them, Bert volunteered, there really is not. In 2018, as you look through how the draft just shook out, you look at Russell Wilson, you look at the way Cam Newton plays, you know, Lamar Jackson now probably lining up to take over for Joe Flacco in no more than a year from now. And Baker Mayfield short, Russell Wilson short, obviously they're tall
guys. That's it, just short, that's it.
Well, Breer says there's not one defining characteristic for a successful NFL QB.
Okay.
He said there, you know, it used to be there were certain standards that you would measure a guy by physical or otherwise. I say that there is a word that you can associate with all those successful guys. What do you say, David Carr?
I'm going to say there's an element of leadership for all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of boring.
Well, but do you feel like Aaron Rodgers? I mean, the charge against Ben Roethlisberger this week for his reaction is bad leadership.
I don't think that's
Aaron Rodgers, bad leader. He's not vocal enough. He likes to be in the shadows.
Would you want a guy that would just be okay with you taking it? I mean, what Ben said is actually what all of the quarterbacks say at home when they draft a guy in the third round to take your spot. Mm-hmm. Is why couldn't we have gotten a player that could help me win you a championship? I'm already here. You already got a quarterback here. Give me a player in the third round. He was just being honest.
That's exactly right. And is that now going to be something that we have to shame people out of doing? Isn't it enough already
that
NFL QBs comport themselves like they're U.S. senators and refuse to say anything under any circumstances? Because shame the devil, it might be bulletin board material for the foes.
Right. And that does that really matter? Like at the end of
no, it makes football more
exactly.
fun. We're fans. Why are fans getting involved in this? Fine. If Bill Belichick or whatever, ownership wants to say, hey, keep it down because we don't want that negative attention.
Thing.
Fans, this is what you should want. You want some S-talking going on.
You want actual – when I hear a guy talk, I want to actually not have to chew through what he's actually saying.
That's right. Thank you.
Just tell me what you're thinking.
That's right. Why do we need this nonsense? This is how bad the Stockholm syndrome's gotten for sports fans that now you feed into that. How dare Ben Roethlisberger speak his mind? That's the worst thing in the world. But the word that I would say, it's not leadership. And I hear what you're saying because I do think some guys are very different from what I've gleaned. You obviously know better
different.
Than I do. But
no doubt.
Eli Manning is a different character in the huddle
100%.
Than Peyton Manning. We don't even have to leave the Manning family
to see that.
Here's what it is. Arrogance. Right? For better or worse.
See, I was with you the whole
arrogance.
Time. I was right there.
Why
Dave.
Not?
We were sitting at the same table.
Don't you have to see the world as I'm the one who can get it done to the exclusion of all others? Isn't that what you need to walk out on a football field?
I think so, but I don't know if that because I think arrogance is perception. I can appear arrogant to you, but you know, am I really arrogant or am I being really confident? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think all these guys roll around are just arrogant. I think they're very confident with what they
confident
can do.
Confidence indicates inclusive.
Well, okay, all right.
I think these guys think. Peyton Manning
think
might say the right things.
Them.
Peyton Manning, in his moments when he is not being political, and you saw it a couple of times in his career after big games that they lost, he would throw the offensive line under the bus. He would let it be known, I'm the man. I mean,
that happened.
Right?
Yeah, it happened. No, I'm with you. I think I understand what you're saying now.
Tom Brady didn't like it. Oh, well, he took Jimmy Garoppolo to the Kentucky Derby. They were pals. Yeah, he also went to ownership and said, I don't want this kid behind me, right?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Okay, I'm with you. I guess I'm right there. Arrogance, though, when I see arrogance, it's almost like no one wants to be their teammate. And I think guys want to play for these guys. I think it's somewhere in between that. I think arrogance is a guy that, like, he just thinks he doesn't need us. Like, you can't have that on a team.
I think if you polled the teammates or the guys at large around the league about who would you most want to play for, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, you'd have a range of opinions with that.
Yeah.
But the one consistent thing about Cam Newton, the one consistent thing, Russell Wilson, the guys, I'm not talking about guys who are good, not merely good.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the very best guys. As I always say, the world has 7 billion people, and we can't find 32 guys to successfully play NFL quarterback. It's not even close to 32. It's more like eight.
It's a half a dozen.
It's like maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So that right. So of course those guys are arrogant. They have been informed by all their success and what everybody has told them.
That's interesting.
Why?
I'm gonna start listening to your podcast.
Well, listen to what I'm saying to you now, David Carr. I want to get into some tough stuff now.
Oh yeah.
Let's not because I don't jive.
I'm
you
an
see
open
the sign
book,
there.
Dave.
You see the sign up on the door.
Jive.
I do want to talk about your brother, how this impacts him, and so on.
Okay.
Let's talk about you, though. The guy seated, about 8 feet away, who could slug me if he wanted to.
That's a little far.
You could.
I could technically do
it. Do you think you could beat me in a fight?
I would hope so.
Now who's arrogant?
I mean,
you see?
I would hope.
So you do have that.
I would hope so.
Did you? Okay, I'm going to just go right at it. What is the difference between you and the guys who we're talking about? Why? What was the thing? Is it circumstantial?
That would be my
– I feel like you are the guy who is the best outside of injury. You have the best case to say,
Dave,
it was bad circumstance I got into.
Let me tell you, I'm going to go to the arrogant train a little bit. Everything that I did from the time that I was really young until I got to the NFL with the Houston Texans, if I did it for a while and I worked hard enough at it, I was good at it, okay? And I put a lot of time and effort into that, into all the things that I did. But when I got to the NFL and I still worked as hard as I could, it wasn't good enough, especially with the Texans for the first couple of years. So that was, for me, when I realized, well, I can't physically do, mentally do anything more that I'm doing right now, and we're still 7-9. I'm still getting sacked 60 times. So there has to be something else that I'm not doing. So I beat myself up for a long time trying to figure out, well, what was it that I wasn't doing? I worked harder than anybody in college. I still do the same thing. I put in the same amount of time as in a routine. You know, you get into routine with things. And I was like, well, what is it? So then I went to the Giants a couple years later, and I did the same things. And Eli was the quarterback there, and we won a Super Bowl, and it was easy. Like, when I'd go on the field, granted, we're up 20, but the game, Sean O'Hara, and I got Deal, and I got all these guys in front of me, and I have time to throw the football, and it was an easy game. And I was like, oh, okay. So it's a product of who you're around. In this game, and I even talked to Tom Coughlin a couple times about this in his office sitting there, and he said, you're only as good as the worst person on your team. That's it. And that's what he really believed, and he coached us like that.
Hmm.
So football is unique. It's not baseball. I can't just go up to bat for the Los Angeles Dodgers by myself. It doesn't matter who's on the bench. I mean, it might matter if I'm going to get some strikes based on who's behind me. But other than that, I'm in the box by myself.
It is a singular thing. It's a team sport, is baseball, but it comes down to the individual head-to-head matchup. However, the other side of that is that the quarterbacks make $25, now $30 million.
Oh, I'm with you.
So if it were also even Steven, then why is that the case?
Yeah.
People love it's a team sport, Dave. You don't get it, Dave. Because not you, David Carr.
No,
Potbelly Jew Damashek. You don't get it. You don't understand ball, man, because it's a team game. Like, you should tell the left guard that, because he should really make a case to ownership that he should be making the same thing if it's all even.
So when you break out the list of the top paid quarterbacks in the league, my brother's on that list, but he also hasn't won a playoff game. He'd be the first one to tell you that. So the way that the league is going and the way that the teams are just forced to pay the next guy up is kind of crazy to me, especially when you have guys that are busting their tail playing guard and tackle and even running back. Running backs, we throw to the side. We don't even pay running backs. We wait for the guy.
Forget running backs. It's now it's safety.
It doesn't matter.
Now it's safety. Don't get paid for anything.
There's 10 more coming out in the draft. We'll just coach them. You know, but they're all just trying to find that one quarterback. And I get it. Like, CEOs of companies get $30, $50 million a year? Probably not, but they do. Right, it's the same thing with the quarterback. They probably shouldn't get $25-30 million a year based on the team, but they do.
So what do you say then? I'm sure you've answered this about 500,000 times already, so now answer once more. Mm-hmm. What did you say then? Were you nervous? You must have somewhere in your brain been a little bit nervous for Derek coming in, because by your example, you said, dominant. I was dominant all the way through till I got to the highest level and it wasn't enough.
Yeah, because you don't know. Honestly, we don't know about any of these guys. The guys that we all said that, they're going to be the first pick. Oh, this is a great pick by the Browns taking Baker. Oh, this is a great pick by Josh.
I didn't say that.
But when I assumed that you would not have said that.
To be snarky.
No.
I'm not doing it because I hate that everybody is anointed because he goes in the first round.
Yeah.
That this equals for all the hopeful fan bases out there. All right, now we're all set. Like, I don't know if you've been paying attention. Only about half these guys are going to work out.
The Buffalo Bills could be in the exact same situation they were before they took Josh Allen.
I think they're going to be.
Very easily. And I don't know why we get – I mean, we get caught into having to say that of who's going to be good, and we don't know. You don't know. And, like, with Derek, I remember sitting there
– I knew. After I said it about Derek Carr. Dig okay. the sound up, Spaghetti. I said – did I say Derek Carr would be the best of class?
He was one of the – yes, I'll give you that one.
All right, I respect that. Well, I'm going to come on your show more often if you'll have me, just because of that. I'd but like I remember that. Sitting there at the end of the first round, we're waiting for the next day, and I'm thinking – well, where's he gonna go? He's obviously not the top choice of all these guys. Am I missing something? I thought that he was going to be a good player. You don't know. But then you get nervous about who's there. Like, and then when he got picked to the Raiders, I honestly was a little concerned. I was like, I don't know how they run their organization. I've played against them a couple times. I don't know if I ever lost to the Raiders, actually. And we weren't very good in Houston. And so I know a lot of guys that when they got towards the end of their career, they'd go to Oakland, right, because they'd pay them a little bit. Mm-hmm. And they could play a little bit longer. And so I was really concerned. I'm not going to lie. And then they started building an offensive line, ready to do a good job, put some guys in front of him. And every year they'd go grab another one. They'd grab Rodney Hudson, Gabe Jackson. They'd go out to Baltimore and grab their left guard, KO. And then, okay, it's pretty good. Then he plays good.
Let's jump in on that. We'll bounce around as we kibitz with the great David Carr here. What about these Oakland Raiders 2018? I submit that the L.A. Chargers, if Patrick Mahomes – here's been my assertion.
Okay.
If Patrick Mahomes isn't a revelation, which he very well may be, especially with a year under his belt,
yeah.
You know, he didn't have, wasn't jammed right in there.
Yep.
Now he has a full year as a pro football player. So now he goes in there with a gaggle of nice pass catchers, at least speedy guys.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to get to air it out, which is what would seem to suit him best. But okay, if he does not take off from day one, I think the Chargers maybe could run away with that division. I think they could dominate that division in a way that no other team dominates its division. But I'm sleeping, I guess, on Derek Carr's Raiders, aren't I?
I think a little bit. And, you know, I'm with you. The Chargers are a talented team. They've put together some nice pieces on the defensive side of the ball. I really like what they did in the draft.
I mean, Derwin James, what a thing to drop
yeah,
him in.
I mean, how about that?
Plus the offensive linemen that now basically play like redshirt freshmen
right.
this year, dropping in because of injury. So now you put them in, that's going to be a much better
I'm with you. Now, but what have we always learned, right, over the last maybe 10 years or so with the San Diego, now L.A. Chargers, is it's kind of like Groundhog Day. Everybody's excited about the Chargers. You know what? The Chargers are the team to beat. And what happens? They lose a couple games at the beginning. Maybe they're 2-4. I don't know how they're 2-4. They're so talented.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go on a run, and they miss the playoffs by a game.
I hear
Same
you.
Same thing.
I think the football gods would have to be especially cruel to
I agree, but
to take advantage
we've
of
seen
this.
Crazier things
Here's
happen.
The sad irony that could go down. Finally, the roster is ready to roll for 17, old
yeah.
man Phil. And now this is the year where he finally drops.
He thinks over.
Well,
like,
I don't know. How do I know?
Does,
you're going to be 38 years old.
Hey, I'm telling you, if I was trying to play, it'd be interesting. Yeah. So I'm the same age as Philip. So imagine playing 17 of those suckers.
What would happen? We heard our pal Kurt Warner.
Oh man.
At least floating the idea. He told me
Kurt's
two,
crazy.
He told me
He's
2 years ago,
actually
and he
crazy.
Was not kidding around. This was not a joke.
I kept waiting for a smile. Like
I said,
a crack or something.
Were you in the room?
No, but I saw him do this the other day.
2 years ago, I said to him, and I thought, well, this is a little silly.
I have a Hall of Fame jacket.
Do you think you're better than any guy starting in the NFL right now? He said, oh, yeah. I said, how many do you think you're better than? He said, half.
There's your arrogance.
He thought he was – he thinks he's better. what is he, 52? How old is he?
Yeah, 49 or something. I don't know what he is, but look –
Better than half the QB. What an indictment.
I love Kurt, but
so no, you don't think Kurt should go out and try to
He
play.
Should not.
I'd like him to. Would it
be a Hall of Fame patch you would wear? Like, I don't understand. Like, is there like
That's a good question.
You can't touch him?
Could
would it
you,
be a gold jersey?
Wear the jacket.
What if he fails?
Wear the jacket underneath?
Now, that's a winning
like
move because now the ubiquitous
like
shot in the pregame is the QB walking in through the bowels of the stadium.
With the Hall of Fame.
He's wearing his gold jacket.
Unbelievable.
But what if he's so bad, could they rescind the gold jacket?
That's
Sorry,
what I was,
we've had
I don't
more.
Know why I went there first, but I'm like, if you go out there, Kurt, you're not going to be fantastic. You're not going to be a Hall of Fame player. What do they do? Revote?
I see. You know who I think that what they should do? I think that there's two. If you go to Canton and you see the Hall of Fame, they're getting to be. They're pushing it now. It's still cool, but it's starting to not feel as select of a group. It's not
yeah,
a tiny
I'm
group. It's getting to be too many. We got to start taking jackets back.
Every time you put one in, this one comes out.
I've set the number one candidate for that.
Oh,
Bob Greasy.
Amazing.
Bob Greasy. And speaking of the Miami Dolphins,
it's a great team.
The That's right. He was on a great team. Right. That's exactly right. I would have won. I wouldn't have gone undefeated, but I bet you I would have won double digits and won a playoff game or two. Anywho, let's say hello to the guy because the Dolphins are the conversation. So let's say hello to our resident Miami Dolphins fan all the way from London, England. Here he is, everybody. It's Handsome Hank.
Love it. He's handsome, Hank. He's handsome, Hank. He's handsome,
Hank. Oh, what was that about? That was a jagged
that music
welcome. But you know what? You deserve – I don't even know why he got his welcome.
I know. You're kind to do it.
Well, what's it? Don't move on. I think you owe David Carr an apology.
I'm going to apologize to both of you. I'm very sorry I'm late. Mm. But actually, and this is – I'm going to hit you pretty hard.
Uh-oh.
I told Emma about an hour ago that I wouldn't be here till 50 minutes after we were due to start. And Emma said, don't worry, I'll let Eddie know. Never told him. She left me hanging.
She never told me.
You know, she's supposed to be the MVP, whatever you call it.
I thought
another example of her letting everyone down.
I thought that it maybe had something to do with you've heard the buzz going on that, you know, Handsome Hank, a lot of people, more than one of our colleagues has volunteered Handsome Hank, the most handsome of all NFL media. I thought maybe you were resentful of the recent push for one David Carr.
It's not even close, right?
I got to sit with the Good Morning Football gang when we were in Dallas. Here's what Kay Adams said.
Speaking of cute, where's Handsome Hank?
What? I invited him and he hi-hatted you. He hi-hatted you guys.
What does that mean?
He's not cute. He's ruggedly handsome.
He's so handsome. I just like looking at him.
That's how Kay Adams, TV star, talks about you.
That's very kind. But
what's that make you feel?
I mean, it makes me happy. You know, that's a good thing to hear. It's good. It's even better of you guys to play it out loud.
Mm-hmm. Bob Greasy, Hall of Fame.
Bob Greasy is a Hall of Famer in the same way we're talking about Eli Manning being a Hall of Famer.
Okay, let's talk
Eli's
about
not
that.
A Hall.
Let's talk about that.
Because now you guys are striking right here.
Why? You love Eli?
Yes, I love Eli. Of course,
you were his backup, but yeah.
He was a friend.
Were you his number one backup in the
for 4 years
in the Tyree game?
Not that one. I came there next year.
Oh, okay.
I was there for the next
for the Indianapolis Super
yeah.
Bowl victory.
Yeah,
the second of two. I get it. That's obviously his.
Is that not a bad comparison? I mean, Greasy played that long. He was one of the top five quarterbacks.
Oh, that's
throughout his time.
Yeah,
he won two Super Bowls on a loaded team.
The difference between Greasy and Eli is that Eli's rose up and played his best games, his most iconic performances came in the postseason.
True.
Bob Greasy threw four passes in a Super Bowl and won the Super. I mean, like, or in a playoff game. I forget which one. You might want to fact check.
You could have done that, Dave.
That's exactly what I could have done, David Carr. That's right. I don't see what I've said. Handsome is. I think the key ingredient to be a success. Well, obviously, you have to have a good arm and some other things going for you. But beyond that, arrogance. This is the defining characteristic of successful NFL quarterbacks, which is why I say, listen, I'm not saying it's okay for Roethlisberger to say what he said, but to expect something different, that's the worldview of Peyton and Breeze and Brady and Rodgers.
Right.
They just spin it differently with microphones in front of them sometimes, but they all react badly. I thought of another guy. I volunteered. Brett Favre didn't like Aaron Rodgers back there.
And no, he didn't.
It took him out of town. That whole thing was an embarrassment. Montana got himself shipped out to the Chiefs. Another guy, John Elway, did not like right in the midst of when they were doing all their stuff and the Broncos were making occasional Super Bowl appearances. They drafted Tommy Maddox.
Yep.
Elway did not like that at all. So this idea that shame the Doha, what kind of behavior? See, Ben Roethlisberger, he's just not a good leader.
You know what? I think that we're probably saying this. I think it could be honesty because every quarterback, I don't know that there's – you think Alex Smith was happy when they drafted Patrick Mahomes?
Well, honesty isn't the thing. You think Tom Brady's the camera? He doesn't. Tom Brady clearly thinks he's the best player in the league, right? You never hear him say that, though.
I don't know. I mean, has anyone ever asked him that question? Are you the best player in the NFL?
He wouldn't answer it honestly.
What,
by the way, he wouldn't
maybe
answer.
He would.
He
maybe
would
you
not.
Should ask him.
I asked him once who's more handsome, you or Jimmy Garoppolo, and he demurred. Oh, ask other people that. So that
He's never thought about Jimmy.
I asked
that
him
way.
Once. I said, "Who would you?" I said, "You have to." I said, "You have to." I said, "There's only one game. The 60 minutes to decide the fate of the planet. Who would be better under center, you or Joe Montana?" He said, "Oh, I got to go, Joe." That's to see. He doesn't think
maybe
that.
Maybe he believes that.
He doesn't think that.
He knows deep down he's lost a couple Super Bowls. Joe never lost one.
Brady thinks that
maybe he does. Maybe that's why he's lost
Tom Brady's the sort of character that would be like, wait, the fate of the planet's hanging in the balance? You better get Eli. He beat me head to head.
He didn't say Eli, though. He said Joe Montana.
But okay. But he doesn't think Joe Montana.
He grew up in the Bay.
And I got you know who else thinks that? Dan Marino. Dan Marino would definitely pick himself over any other human being in this.
That's true.
But do you think that same thing is what results in quarterbacks like Roethlisberger or Brady saying, not only can not a young guy beat me out, but also age can't beat me out? And it's the same thing as Kurt Warner. There's no way that I could ever be too old for this. I will be the
– The blind spot, and that, you know, actually supports the arrogance.
Yeah, it does. That's why I was a little
upset. I'm so arrogant that I don't even think that
the one
I will
thing
age.
That those guys don't get is, almost across the board, with very few exceptions, you see Barry Sanders do it, retire early, but how many guys walk away a little too early instead of a little too late?
Oh, never.
They all, I mean, almost every guy hangs on. I can make it. Tom Brady is – yes or no? We'll dig it up. We'll dig it up in 4 years.
Okay.
Tom Brady, is he still a capable NFL quarterback at age 45?
No.
No, of course not. This is nonsense that we're indulging this. Ben Roethlisberger, it's irrational.
If Tom Brady isn't, Ben Roethlisberger,
I know he's not.
Is.
I don't. But I'm not. But you know, the idea that I'm supposed to scold Ben Roethlisberger.
I'm not asking you to.
I already told him I want to play for 3 or 5 more years. Like, Ben, no one thinks that you're playing to 43. Yeah, like, Kevin Colbert's not going to say that to his face, but he has to. His job is to tend to the organization's future.
Which is why he drafted it.
Ben Roethlisberger, the idea that he has to be supportive of that is asking a little too much of a super arrogant, super successful guy playing one of the rarest jobs in all the land. The rarity of being a starting NFL quarterback is about as slight as, I guess, being an NFL punter. But the success rate for that group of 32 is about 25% or something like that.
Yep.
Of course, that would make you think, I'm the only guy who can do this. You watch the vast majority of the rest of the league year in and year out. We got to get one of those. If only
that's why they pay him.
That's right. So, of course.
Yeah.
Now, here's what Spaghetti gets wrong behind the glass, David Carr.
Okay.
Are you having fun, by the way?
I like this show.
If you want to go, just go. Just say, like,
where am I going to go? I
mean, whatever you want to do. You're like, I have better things to do.
I can get some lunch later.
I could go get a corn on the cob or something like that.
I can get that later. I can get that anytime.
Okay.
Yeah. What's your favorite thing to eat?
Corn on the cob.
Is it?
Yeah.
From have we already had this conversation?
No, it's not, actually.
Oh, what if it were, though?
That would be amazing.
Sear-like ability.
Oh, right. Man. What is my favorite thing to eat? I don't know. I like some fish tacos.
Yeah.
That's your last meal?
If they're really good, yeah, maybe. Yep. Yeah.
I always say that's a weird
way. Some guacamole and some, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think guacamole's a little overrated.
Oh, no.
No, you're right.
No, I love avocados very much.
I love an avocado. Here's a pro tip.
Very much.
Put some salt on it.
Oh.
Put a little salt on it.
Pro tip.
Well, some people don't know about that.
A lot of salt.
What are you talking about?
Some people don't know that.
People don't know that.
Listen. I don't.
Like,
don't
it's bring, fine for I you to tell your kids that.
What
like,
I don't
hey,
need,
son, you should try this. But
I don't need you showing up 10 minutes late and then giving me the business. Don't embarrass me in front of David Carr. This is his first go round, and I want him to know who's boss.
Okay, yeah,
you understand.
It's got his name on the show.
Thank you. Now, Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass, he involved himself in this discussion about high end quarterbacks by saying, "Well, Eli doesn't do that," and my response to that is, "Yeah, Eli isn't one of those QBs. He's good. He's in."
Neither is Ben. So now
he is. Let me say something to you. He is definitely going to the Hall of Fame. I think people are being curmudgeonly when they say he's not. Whether you like it or not, he is. And it's not just because he beat Tom Brady twice, although that is a major consideration.
Sure.
When he retires, he is going to be statistically one of the 4 or 5 best passers in history. It's going to be very hard to make a case against Eli Manning. That being said, there's a decent distance between Eli Manning, the NFL QB, and Ben Roethlisberger. How say you, David?
I don't believe
what
that
class
at
is he
all.
In? Here, he's one of the 5 best QBs of the 21st century. Can we agree on that?
Who? Ben?
Yeah, who? That's it.
I don't. Of the 21st century?
The 21st
That's
century.
What I just said. I said 21st century. Let me list them for you.
Go ahead.
I'll try to do it in some sense of order,
okay,
too. Aaron Rodgers, 1.
Okay.
Tom Brady, 2.
Okay.
I'm not going to say Roethlisberger, 3. But I'll just say it to get it so I don't have to get any pushback. I'll just say Peyton and Breeze.
Okay.
But at worst, Roethlisberger is 5.
Brett, was Brett Favre not in the 21st century?
Maybe he bled into it, but
he bled into it. Like, he played through the first decade of it.
Oh, come on. He didn't. He did not.
What do you mean?
That was 2006 when he was with the Vikings and almost went to the Super Bowl.
No, it wasn't.
That was aught
2000. No, it wasn't. It was 2013, 12.
Yeah, all right.
What are you talking about?
You make an interesting point.
Okay. I make an interesting
you've given
point.
Me something
definitely
to
th- the, definitely
you've given me something
five.
To think about.
All right, that's interesting. I don't really think about that. I mean,
okay, but okay, which group does Roethlisberger belong more to?
Okay.
That first group that I just listed, not just Hall of Famers, but guys who will be icons 50 years from now. They will be held up as some of the best to ever play the position, even four generations from now. Eli Manning, fine. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame, but he's not going to be regarded in that at that level. Where is seven fall in? This spaghetti behind the glass, Eli and Ben are the same guy.
They're similar. They're too similar.
I think Philip Rivers and Ben are the same guy.
Okay.
I think they're the same. I mean.
Both better than Eli?
No, I think Eli is better than both of them.
Oh, you do not.
I do.
Now, see, I thought we talked about the no job policy.
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm not. I just.
You think
I
Eli
think he's
Manning?
Better. Yeah.
Here's what I'll push
Pittsburgh
back.
Had fantastic football teams when they won.
I know. But let me tell you, you know what? The Chargers, people ignore the fact that Rivers, through no fault of his own, was in prime spot a couple of times to.
He has been. And that's why I don't put him ahead of Eli, because Eli was in prime spot and he did it.
Yeah, injuries,
I don't think I would put him ahead of Phil Rivers, but I wouldn't put him ahead of Ben either.
Well, I mean, to push back from 15 minutes ago, you said a big issue for you was that, I mean, basically you said the culture, organization in Houston, so on and so forth, made it difficult to succeed as an expansion team. That's going to be the case for almost anybody. But there are rare guys who can overcome a subpar offensive line. That does not describe Phil Rivers or Eli Manning. That is that's the difference between the style of game. Roethlisberger.
I'll give you that.
He can overcome.
Ben transcends X's and O's.
Bum
O-lines. And bad. He can throw guys off of him.
And there are only three or four other guys that can do that.
Yeah.
Brady does it well in his own way.
I think about Russell Wilson, his ability with what he's
Wilson,
had.
Rodgers, those are the guys.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
So we found a way to get him in the top five. Once you changed all the parameters.
Yeah, you changed the parameters around.
He is the best. He's the best Ben.
Having a guy, like, if he's in a bad situation, I will say that he's in the top five of being in a bad situation.
Not quite so much now.
Yeah, he's in a great situation now.
I don't understand Handsome's so anxious to impress David Carr by putting me down.
We're having a debate about your quarterback.
We're just trying to figure out.
I've also spent years listening to you talk about Ben Roethlisberger, and he's always third in every list you ever.
I didn't put him.
Like, whatever the list is, Dave will make Ben Roethlisberger. Well, you've got Tom Brady, you've got Aaron Rodgers, and then Ben Roethlisberger. Could be a list of anything.
It's very accurate. You overrate him a bit, and I'll admit I overrate Eli a bit. All I'm saying is there's a gap between the Rodgers, Peyton, Brady, and Breeze, whoever, and Favre, you want to throw him in there, and then Roethlisberger is not in that group. There's a gap.
I just patently disagree with that. Okay. You know what I think? And you know why I'm doing that? Not just because I like the Steelers. For real, and I watch all the games. AFC ball or something like that.
Yeah,
I've seen all the games with very few exceptions. I've seen every NFL game played in the last 15 or so years and beyond.
It's pretty good.
Every game
in the last 15 years.
Every week you watch every game.
I DVR all the games and watch them. Yeah, I mean, I'll buzz through them as I can. I try to see what's going on.
You're mostly watching the O-line.
That's my thing. I love breaking down the O-line.
You know, with the camera angles that we get from some of these broadcast crews, though, that's pretty much all you see.
Yeah.
You see the quarterback drop back. You don't really see what's down the field. So maybe you're missing a little bit.
Do you like that behind that high-end camera that you saw?
I absolutely love it.
Yeah. But that would be a major shift for sports watching.
I don't think people would like it.
I think it would be fun to be able to shoot to flick between the while you're watching.
That would be great.
That would be cool. Like, I want to, on this play, I want to have a look around.
Because I remember when we would watch the games like that, everyone at my house was like, oh, I can't, I don't know what's, like, I kind of like it, but I want to see it the way I've always seen it. And I'm like, this is beautiful. This is the way I saw it. This is the way I get
You can see the spaces. You can
see the timing of quarterback and what all goes into that. I love it. But
because we just begun talking a little bit of Raiders right when you came in, Handsome. So let me pay that off with Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Big bounce back. You have confidence that happens in 2018 for Derek and company.
Yeah, I'm just going to talk in general terms. I love the coach.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
You don't talk because there have been some questions about the decision.
I think those questions are questions that people ask that aren't right there, you know? And I've gotten a chance to talk to him, and I talked to Derek about what they're doing.
Really? That's the dynamic?
Yeah.
You're allowed? What do you have? Do you have like a
– I got a pass. Yeah, I got a little card. Yeah.
What? Like, Derek doesn't have to put you on a list. Like, some of my family's coming by. Like, can you give us their name? My brother. My brother's coming by.
Coming in wave.
What's his name?
You know what
now,
I
do. Now, this is getting rude. You should know my brother.
I wear the NFL Network shirt.
That gets you through the door.
You have an Oakland Raiders pass? You can walk into the facility?
That's not by my own doing. It's by, you know, a good relationship with a great guy. Be my brother.
Oh, I was going to say, well, I don't know. Maybe it's John Gruden who's like, this guy so much, I want him here.
No, John, look. And I was concerned. I had the same concerns that everybody else had. John hasn't done this in 10 years. Like, what's he going to do? He's going to come in here with some old, archaic offense that we haven't ran in the NFL since, you know, 90s. I wouldn't be down with that. I'd be concerned for my brother. I'm going to go up there and check it out. I'm going to ask Derek what's happening. So I started asking questions and digging into it, and the guy's on it. He's bringing in guys that have been around top-notch, really custom, like putting it to the edge. Okay, Olsen brings him in from the Rams. They're running as high octane an offense as you've got around the NFL. They've implemented a lot of stuff that they've done. He's bounced around. He has cut-ups from back in the 90s all the way up to last year of guys. He had a cut-up. He showed a cut-up. Derek actually sent me the video. Derek's watching it in his house. It's of me running a play. When I was a backup quarterback in New York that he dug up that he just wanted to show Derek this one play. So he found me running it 5 years ago with the Giants in a game in the fourth quarter. Didn't even mean anything. That's how much film the guy watches and has kind of consumed. So he's digging up all this stuff of the best that everyone has kind of put together, and he's gonna make an offense out of it, and he's on it.
I love that tale, but, I mean, the worst enemy it could be the older sibling. I mean, did you ever see Hoop Dreams? I mean, what a nightmare for the head coach, for the older brother to be
I think that's where
you better not blow not this guy's dreams. Career. Coach,
no.
I want him throwing balls more like this, don't you know? I want these kind of plays.
Yeah, No, I can understand your concern. I don't think that's an issue.
That's not
you don't have to worry about me. I just wanted to make sure that we were going to be, you know, in the mid-2000s.
Imagine me and John Gruden. They're like, well, I got to deal with Derek's older brother now, too? I have to run everything by him? How bad is this going to get?
It would suck. He wouldn't be getting paid enough. Even though he's getting paid.
I love that that's the dynamic. So you're confident in that.
Yeah.
I was watching 2017, and I think a major issue, I'm not want to put it all on one guy's shoulders. It's unfair. There were many things that got sideways with the 2017 Raiders. But, you know, we're just post-draft. And I don't know that we've had more buzz about a guy being NFL ready as much as Amari Cooper was touted as being that.
It's understandable.
Remember that?
Yeah.
When it was the it was the Amari Cooper, Kevin White. Well, Kevin White's this raw, spectacular, physical guy. But Amari Cooper, he'll step in and he'll dominate the NFL for the next decade.
Yeah.
I felt like he was quitting on some balls. Like, I mean, he would cut routes off some of the time.
Yeah.
And he was just abjectly dropping.
He dropped
passes.
A lot of balls. Yeah. I mean,
and then John Gruden says, hey, guess what? 2018, whole offense built around Amari Cooper.
Well, you know why?
Yeah, but they've added two other great receiver pieces there as well.
And they're going to move Amari around. So he's not going to be against the best corner every week now either. So
Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, Jordy's there. Martavis is going to take some attention away at least, right? Just from the sheer speed and ability to make a play down the field every once in a while, right? So I think that's a case of John trying to instill confidence in Amari that he's the guy, right? Because all he heard last year was how bad he was and how many balls he dropped, right? I mean, that'd get old after a while. And when he came in, he was young. I remember a game he was playing against the Bengals, and Pac-Man Jones slams him on the ground, doesn't let him up. You know, Pac-Man can be a jerk sometimes, right? Let's just be real.
I heard about that.
Right, yeah. So he just keeps him down there. And Amari didn't really have much fight back. Yeah, he kind of just kind of hung out, you know. And he was, what is he, 20 years old?
Right,
so
he was 20 when he came in.
Yeah, I mean, but talent-wise, Antonio Brown is who I think of when I think of the possibilities of what this kid could be. Right, he's just got to figure it out mentally that I'm better than everybody else. Let me go out there and assert myself. A little bit of arrogance, maybe.
Mm-hmm. What did you think? Well, that's exactly
not normally something it does receive as a should have.
It would be good. Right. He's very quiet, right? Amari didn't say a lot. It's hard to get him to even say anything to you, right? When you're out there hanging out, but if he could get a little bit of that and just know that you're the best, right? A little bit of that. Maybe not Tom Brady because he thinks Joe Montana's the best, but somebody else, right?
I see. Now you see. Now you understand.
I'm kind of jumping on train.
Tom Brady's just being politically correct. He knows it's bad form to say himself, so he doesn't. But instead, he's so what? So what's worse, Roethlisberger saying that in spring, or Tom Brady during the season going to ownership or Belichick or whoever he went to? I don't believe what you want to believe.
I got a lot of respect for that move. I'm not gonna lie.
Do you think that that's what? Do you know
absolutely
that that's what happened?
I don't know, but I believe that.
You think Tom Brady went to who? Belichick or to Kraft?
Kraft.
And said, listen, come on.
Look at
this. I'm playing till 45, man.
Let's not. This is just a distraction for our team. We got to go win a championship.
So who did more damage to his organization? Seven by saying, I don't know why we did this this doesn't help 2018? Or the guy who basically had the guy who could have been the quarterback for the next decade.
Keep the dynasty going.
No. The Central time zone won't do. All the way. I want them all the way on the
coast.
All the way
in the Pacific Ocean, if possible.
Is there a team in Hawaii?
You want it? Not in the AFC.
Are we still doing that developmental Europe League? Can we get them in that somehow? I think that would be good for the kid, Coach.
It's real.
I'm fascinated that you're kibitzing with John Gruden about what Derek Carr, how he's going to be.
John is great. He's an open.
I would think he would get that more than some coach. I would think there'd be some curmudgeon coach. Who do you think you are? Get out of here.
No, and it's not even an issue with him. That's why I have high hopes for him, because he's not a guy that's going to say, if you brought Bill Parcells in off wherever he at, right? If he's on a boat, if he's up at his house somewhere, he would come in and do things a certain way, and it'd be his old guys and his buddies that would come in, and this is how we're going to run it, right? But not John. John's bringing in guys that he hasn't worked with before, like that he trusts, that he sees around the league's doing some things that are pushing this. Right? He's got to be there for 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what his contract
says.
That's
what it says.
Right? So he's got to find a way to catch up to the game and get this thing moving progressively forward.
It probably
helped
that he was around those guys as part of the ESPN broadcast as well.
Oh,
so he was seeing what was happening. He was sitting in the rooms with them before the games
and the production meetings. Yep. So he's picking brains. He's seeing what works. And he's friends with all these guys, too. He's not enemies with Andy Reid. Right. He's good friends with Andy Reid. They coached together back in Green Bay. So, I mean, it's going
to
be just fine.
I'm fascinated by the intel that you seem to have on Bill Parcells living on a boat somewhere.
He might be. I would be on a boat.
He could
be. He's at a racetrack. I'm pretty sure he's at a racetrack.
Guarantee Bill Parcells is on a boat right now.
Really? Not a racetrack.
If we found out that he's on a boat.
I'd like that to be his current life, living on a boat. I think that'd be fun to live on a, you know.
I used to live on a boat.
Did you?
That's a true story. In the UK for about 2 years, I lived on a boat. It's very narrow. There's like not a lot of space on a boat.
What were you living in a boat? Not the whole family.
Not the whole family. No. After I graduated, I decided.
This guy, Handsome Hank, is the
parked
most fascinating.
In a dock,
life.
Or were you?
No, you. Well,
out.
I was parked in a dock some of the time, but then you could go. You could just take it. It wasn't the sea. It was a river. But yeah,
like your English forefathers, would you have done like in Dunkirk? If
oh
summoned?
Yeah, that exactly.
You would have
that
done your duty.
Been, sure.
That would have been fantastic.
I'm going to pick up my mates.
Exactly. We could have fit.
They in peril at the hands of the Nazi scourge.
There's a war.
There's war afoot. It's time for me to be hero.
Exactly.
So with one other thing about, you mentioned Martavis Bryant. What was Derek's reaction to that?
He likes Martavis. So you don't know. There's the unknown of guys all the time. Like usually guys don't let really good football players just walk out to other teams, right? That's usually the case. So you have to find out.
I couldn't believe the Steelers got a third round pick for him.
Yeah, well,
given his baggage, one year left,
for sure. I see your point. But I think what you have to do as a quarterback, and what Derek's comment to me was, we have to find out what he does really well, and that's what he's going to do. He's not going to be the number one guy. We're not going to rely on him to do everything. Right, but we got to find out what he does really well, and then he's going
to
do that.
It's funny,
and
he has to accept that though, because he certainly wants to. That's what's difficult about Martavis Bryant.
Wants
he was
the
playing there
guy.
With Antonio Brown and still wanted to be the man. It's kind of like, hey man, I don't know what you think what's going on here, but Antonio's going to get more targets.
And I think that he really still believes that, honestly, based on what I've heard a little bit about what's going on at camp, and he's making plays, right? He's out there and he's doing his thing, and Derek's going to trust him. Like, if you watch Derek play, he trusts his receivers with footballs, like 50-50 balls. Like,
that's exactly right. That's what he needs, Martavis.
He puts them in those situations. So, John Gruden was – that's why he brought him in, because he finds out what guys are out there that can help Derek play to his best, right? So what does Derek do? What does he like to do in these certain – he likes to throw 50-50 balls to a really good big receiver, so Martavis is pretty good at that. Let's go grab him. So that's why those moves make –
A couple more football things, and then a couple other, and then several other game of life questions I have for the both of you. But David Carr, what advice do you or have you given to Derek after a – because the Raiders are right up there, if not the number one team for 2017 disappointment based on expectation versus the reality. There's another one, though, that was sort of stunning – not the Falcons.
I don't know. That one
now the Falcons
stuck out.
Layoffs. I'm trying to think. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what? Yeah. How do you? What advice do you have to turn the tide and get back into Super Bowl contention a year later?
You know, I mean, it's they played really well 2 years ago. Won a lot of games in the fourth quarter. Their record was probably a little bit better than their team probably was. You know, even though to go back to Bill Parcells, you are what your record says you are. Okay, I get that, right? But they still won a ton of games coming from behind, like 5 or 6 in the fourth quarter 2 years ago. So, all right, found a way. Mm-hmm. All right, they're going to be better this year. Well, okay, they might be, but they also could be the same and then lose a couple of those games, right? So they did. That's what happened. They were in pretty much every game. You saw them against Kansas City on primetime. I'm over here in the studio cheering them on. They win last second. Awesome. Going to be a great year. The next week they get beat, and then they're around 500. And that's just the way it goes. That's the way the NFL, everything's set up to go 8-8. You know, and the teams that make great plays and find a way to get that edge, they'll win 10 or 12, right? That's the way it works. And this year, that didn't go that way for them. And now you bring in a new coach. And then so at the end of that season, when those things start happening, you get guys that aren't going to be there anymore start taking plays off, right? Or not going out on the field on important downs. Well, you bring in a new coach, now those guys aren't there, right? And things start, there's a turnover, and then you got to find out, who can you count on? Who's going to be the Raiders of 2018? And then John's out there trying to figure that out right now. And I think they brought in some pieces to actually help them. And I like the fact that Derek has a head coach, even though I played against Jack Del Rio when he was a coach in Jacksonville. I like Jack as a person. I think he's a good football coach. There's just something about having an offensive guy with your quarterback who's the leader of your team at all times. And John is with Derek at all times. They have a meeting at 5 o'clock every morning, right, that they have practice and talk about what they're going to do as a team, not just on offense. So there's something to that. And
who set the time for that meeting? Who decided it was going to be at 5 a.m.?
That's a great question.
Probably, David Carr.
I did, actually. probably not.
John, Derek really, that's not going to work for him and not me either, as a matter of fact. So
wait, why not you? Oh, well, I'm going to be there as well.
I'm going to be there. It's a long way from Bakersfield to get to Oakland. But I think that it was, I mean, it was obviously it was John that wanted to have the meeting. But Derek gets up.
Could Derek say, like, could
there is
we,
a race,
could we
though,
make it 5:30?
Who's going to get in earlier every morning? There is a race to see who's going to be there first. Yeah.
Do you think Gruden's going to do that jazz where he's, like, in season, like, I only sleep 4 minutes a day.
No, you think at some point people
enough
are on to
that,
you.
Right?
Yeah, we get
it's
it.
Enough.
Everybody.
Also, I don't think that's good for you. I mean, like 10 years ago when he was coaching, that was a cool thing. I think at this point, like, isn't sleep a big deal? Everyone
I think we've found out that sleep is
important. Sleep's a good thing.
Yeah. I think, right.
Trying
I think
to avoid it doesn't work.
You want
to
play a head game with that's the rest. Other team. Right. It's like, oh, yeah, no, we've been leaving here at 4:30 every day this
Lost
week.
Lost in, first out.
Yeah, we slept 10 hours last night. I don't know about you guys.
No, we did everything we needed to do.
Our quarterback's the last guy in and the first guy out every day.
We're going to hit the early bird special. Right. If you want to join us, we're going to be there.
Exactly.
We're fine. I buy what you're saying, and Handsome, I'm interested in your thoughts as well on this, that every team is more or less, with few exceptions in either direction, is an 8-8 team.
Yeah.
And how things break for you a year to year defines whether you're double digits or you're some sort of a disappointment. Mm-hmm. I suspect that the New England Patriots have done the NFL a favor by masking the fact that the rising and falling tide for each of the 32 teams has been obscured, or the other 31 teams has been obscured by the Patriots' consistent success. And it's really not the Patriots; it's Tom Brady and Belichick, and then the moving parts around them,
and a combination of being in a division with three teams that have been perennially bad, which isn't necessarily down to being in the Patriots division, but more just the Bills, Dolphins, and Jets have not been able to get stuff together.
I think when Tom Brady goes, and that if they do, you know, become a mediocre team, I think that it's going to be unsatisfying on some level if every year it's just a complete crapshoot. I know that that's compelling. It is
but it is.
Nobody saw the Eagles winning the Super
Bowl. Counting on the Patriots being in every AFC Championship game. You like that?
Right.
No, I do think, well, personally, no. I'd rather it be the Pittsburgh Steelers, but obviously.
Facing,
but no,
like, we're going to face this. We have to beat the Patriots.
But yeah. The truth is.
Dynasties, I know week to week for leagues. Leagues are incented, the NFL and every other professional sports league, is incented to pursue parity because it keeps more people engaged over the months. But once you get to the playoffs, I like meritocracy to take over, and I don't want a 14-2 team getting upset by a 9-17.
I don't like that.
I like if it happens once in a blue moon,
but every game is a crapshoot.
It's like, what's the rhyme or reason to any of this then?
Okay.
We've just spent 4 months determining that this team is significantly better than the other. Then they have a bad, weird day.
You're going to want like a playoff series. You're going to want like a 2 out of 3.
I don't know exactly. But am I right-handsome or no? Do you see my point?
I do see your point.
What's not good is the Eagles are sub 500. Right. Then they win the Super Bowl. They're the best team in the league. And if they go back to 8-8, it's what happened? What is this?
I do agree with that, but I don't think that's what happens. Yeah. I think you have a team like the Patriots who've been good for a long period of time, but they're an anomaly, just like you're saying. But then you have the Seahawks who are good for a 6-year stretch, and the Steelers who are consistently good. And then the Niners had that nice stretch and then went away. I don't think it's going to be like.
I think
blitz.
You only want to have to worry about 5 teams. I think that's what you want. You want the Steelers to only have to worry about 2 or 3 guys.
I don't want
any of these teams anywhere close to us.
I like that wonky structure of it. I think it's funny, or not funny.
When the Marlins win, yeah.
I'm a Pittsburgh Pirates fan, and I'm supporting that structure that there's a haves and a have-nots. I think that makes it compelling. I like the inequity. If everybody has the same opportunity, I know that's nice in society in a lot of ways, but I also like, a lot of people would. It's funny, the paradox of, I'm not trying to be political, but I mean, you know, it is funny that the same people who want parity often will say, you know, shame the devil. We can't have that as a political structure. But you want, it inverts the other way. That you the these dynastic teams that I like, you know, but I'm like, can everybody make it? Cut it out, Spaghetti. I didn't articulate my point. Very well. Did you follow it, handsome?
I'm nodding. I'm
David
nodding.
Carr, did you follow?
Yeah,
my
I was
point?
More nodding. Hopefully,
All right. I was hoping you'd move on to another.
They can't all That's be
fine.
Gems.
I see tried. What you were doing. I kind of knew what you were doing.
I think we'd said it, and you were trying to find a better way to say it, and it just turns out you don't have that in your arsenal.
Jerks. Hey, I went to – I got to fill in because Matt Money Smith is a great mensch, and so he invited me to fill in on the greatest radio show in all the land on Petros and Money. I got to sit with him, and as it turned out, it was at Dodger Stadium. So we did it from there, from 2
wow,
to 6.
That.
I mean, talk about living instead of just surviving.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
That's living, sitting out there on a beautiful day, and the pitchers were right underneath us. I mean, they were
really?
We sat right over the bullpen, so they're doing their side work before the game. It was really a cool experience. And then Eddie Spaghetti and MVP showed up.
Hmm.
And what was weird was MVP hugged Matt Money Smith. Like, hey, good to see you. And, you know, you see Matt Money Smith all the time at work. You don't hug him at work. And we debated it, whether or not it was appropriate. Now, Money said
appropriate in what way? Are you
I'm not insinuating anything weird. I'm just saying
I don't understand
our society's rules
mm-hmm.
that when you see people socially or some pseudo-social situation that people hug each other. Like
you don't like that?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm the weirdo. That's why I turned to you.
Well, do you
hug people when you see them?
I like to hug people, but a hug is a two-way street. You have to be able to read the situation and know.
Yeah,
okay,
that
I'm
the
gonna
reading
hug,
is crucial.
Like I'm going to hug Eddie, and then you get the look on the face, like, oh my god, he's going to hug me. Then you have to be able to read that, but you have to be able to read it before you get in that position.
When you're on a social call, do you kiss? If you go on a double date, do you kiss the woman who isn't your wife? Do you kiss her on the cheek? Oh, hello, it's nice
depends.
To see you once
yeah,
again.
I might do. Depends
pleasure?
How well I know.
Okay, well, off to grand start our evening on the town. You kiss her on the cheek.
I might do.
David Carr, how say you?
I think a hug is okay. I think you have to read it though.
Yeah.
Because if you go in to hug someone that maybe you thought you were better friends with than they think that you are, then and then it's weird.
I would. Yeah.
I just avoid it.
I double will tell date. You that, like where a, do you come down?
I will
on
tell
double
you
dates?
That I have.
Yeah,
once,
we'll double date. Yeah, I'll go.
You like a double?
My wife will take someone out.
Too much pressure. I feel like no, that's you not can, the right math.
I don't think so.
Really?
Well, you know what is good math is if you have a married couple going out with two single people and you can kind of. You know, you can break the ice a little bit, you know? I think that's a good combination.
That's fun idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice idea. To, yeah, for the two.
Because we've gone out, like, with my my wife's sister, we've done that before.
For you, that's nice. But then the people that are just meeting, then they got to dance. Now, not just for each other, but now they're dancing for you.
Yeah, but you take the pressure off. Yeah. You wouldn't put – you'd make that
awkward.
You'd
make it awkward and weird.
The guy universally declared the most handsome man in the history of people wouldn't be a bad spot to drop a guy into.
No, not at all. Because then
I know I don't look like him, and I didn't get drafted first overall to play pro football. But
is that why
my
wife's sister's still single? That might be why she's still single. I love you.
I have the full set of. Remember when McDonald's did the Jurassic World glass collection? I got all of them. I even got a couple of spares if you want them.
That's good that David Carr thinks that's helping anybody? Come on. That's like Tom Brady taking
my hand. If they already
want to
go out, I'm just helping them out.
I'm here. Listen, Montana's the guy I would want, and I'm just here to help you out, Terry.
Come on. Terry and I aren't dumb. Spaghetti. Your thoughts. That was wrong. That was wrong of MVP, you thought?
Oh, we're going back to the hugging, not the double dates. The hugging was definitely awkward because both Money and Emma had to say, I'm not a hugging person. But it is weird. We do.
So then why did it happen? What energy?
Sometimes chemistry is hard to overcome.
No, it was – no, if you were there, you would have seen it. It was weird.
Oh, it's happening. That's what I'm talking about, reading.
They just get too close accidentally.
But, like, I gave you and Money a handshake, but we don't shake hands when we're here. But no, we're out,
right.
We're
that's,
out
a weird thing. That's a weird thing to
here,
do.
Here, I'll recreate it, handsome. Yeah. Like, here's how it was with Emma VP and Matt Money Smith. It was like, hey, guy, hey, good to, hey, oh, hey, you guys made it to the ball. Hey, what's happening?
Oh,
hey,
that
good
weird?
To see you. Yeah, it was like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's
and they finally, was that right, Spaghetti? I got
so
that right.
Accurate.
I think they just like each other enough as humans where they caught themselves in that weird
that's
space
exactly.
that they were like, I think we have to.
I think the important thing is that you didn't make it weird for them afterwards.
No, you still haven't.
Not my way.
Definitely
it's
not bring
way.
It up.
Never brought up again.
It's not my way to do that. That's
I did one time, though, when I first moved to the U.S. Like, in England, people will kiss, you know, you give someone a kiss, and I hugged someone who I'd never met before, but, you know, like, people will go in and say, nice to meet you, and give you the hug. But
You hugged the stranger?
I kissed the stranger.
Why?
And she was blown away by what I'd just done.
Wow.
It was a bad situation.
What behavior is that?
It wasn't on purpose. It wasn't
my continental ways. We're more comfortable than you blokes from...
She was probably...
You Yanks.
She was probably mid-50s.
So puritanical you are on this side.
She
you
was
should
really
have
upset.
Stuck. Stood stuck with us when you had the chance.
You did have the chance. You decided to go off by yourself, and now look what's happened.
Next question. I'll start with you on this one, Handsome Hank.
Sure.
David versus David.
It's David versus Goliath.
Right.
But in this case...
Can I fell the giant, the New York giant, as it turns out? I'm just a Jew over here with little but my, you know, what does he have?
Flesh yarmulke?
He had the thing where he threw the stone.
Oh, a stone.
Slingshot.
Slingshot, yeah. That's what it was. But it wasn't a proper slingshot.
No, it was more like
they didn't have that technology
catapult.
In biblical times, right. They wouldn't have the stretchy, rubbery.
I think it was more of a...
Like he threw it over.
Yeah. And then,
that counts as a slingshot?
Mm-hmm.
I think then...
I would like to try that to see if I could actually.
You would not be better at it than David Carr is.
Well, I'd like to see if I could spin a rock in a little hanky thing and then throw it in a direction that I intended to go. I think that would be very difficult to do.
Hard to do.
I think you could do it.
Do you think you'd be good at that?
I do.
But David knew how to do it because he was a shepherd and he would use it to
keep
the wolves away.
He'd already defended again. Yeah.
He would keep the wolves away from his sheep. Yeah. Lions.
What about this, David? What does
I don't have to defend anything.
What
does
Damashek?
So.
What in the world, if anything, does Damashek do better than Carr? It's not make babies. I'll tell you what. He's a clutch performer himself. What are you on?
This is number 5.
Number 5.
Wow, congratulations.
18-year span.
And he's younger than I am.
Congratulations. I got 3, and that's too much.
And yeah. 5.
I mean, it's not too much.
5,
I like them all.
I love all of them. They're excessive. Yeah. It's excessive.
That's nice.
It's excessive.
How
I need 5.
How old
I mean,
is the oldest and how young
18
is 18
and 1 month.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's, Mazel tov.
Yeah,
Mazel
congratulations.
Tov. That's wonderful. That's I agree, but people say that. I say the same thing. Like, yeah. It's enough already.
It's a I have five. I love them. I wouldn't trade any of them.
They're
in.
A lot of fun, but
you don't need five.
It's
you
silly.
You get like two or three, and you'd be good.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't. I couldn't imagine extracting one of them.
No, I wouldn't. There's no way.
And still,
right.
But I just tell other people, so there's not the pressure. Like, oh, well, Dave has five kids. We have to have five. We don't have to have five.
You
relax.
Don't have to.
No, no, no.
Chill.
No, no.
You guys
yeah.
are fine.
Yeah. One, not optimal. Yeah. In some ways, but delightful in others.
Delightful in others. Exactly. Yeah. You would. You couldn't. You definitely couldn't lose any of them. What could you do better? I reckon you could talk for an hour about nothing and say almost nothing better than David Carr.
Thank you. That's very nice.
It's almost like you've done that before.
That's very nice. Yeah. That's very nice of to see. Now this is more the direction we needed to go. That's right. I can talk about nothing with the best of them.
You guys exactly. actually like each other. That's good.
We might hug one day.
I was concerned.
I couldn't do it as well, and I've asked you this before, David Carr, and I really do want to try doing this. We have the bodies here. Could I, with your expert opinion, let's start with the easy one. Mm-hmm. Four downs. Give me half the field. We cut it in half from the 10-yard line.
Okay.
Could I throw a touchdown pass to Reggie Wayne, let's say?
Wait, why have we got half the what's happening?
So, I'm just saying I don't have the whole field. If you gave me the entire end zone and there's only one receiver and one DB out.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yes.
100%.
Reggie Wayne would get open for you.
100%.
Who's the DB?
You only have to make one good throw. He'll get open at least two or three times.
Right.
Open.
Right. Yeah. But would the pro level DB be able to close that
out? It's not as much – like, I don't know what you would be worried about physically from your side. It's mm-hmm. don't worry about the velocity. All you have to worry about is the timing and the mm-hmm. placement. As long as you get the ball out when you have to and sure. where you need to be –
Bucky Brooks, that's who's defending Reggie Wayne.
Bucky's, okay.
He played some DB.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you'd be fine.
What happens, what's the best offensive line in the NFL? I know people say the Cowboys, but it's not really the Cowboys. You know what?
Might be the Raiders.
Why don't I stay
the Raiders, maybe.
Why don't I stay close to home, and I'll just say, to make it easy, the Steelers. Give me the Steelers offense. That's a good offensive line.
The whole offense.
Give me the whole offense.
In
give
an
me
Le'Veon game.
Bell. Give me Le'Veon Bell. Okay. Give me Antonio Brown. Give me the full allotment of 2018 Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
What's the worst defense in the league? Whoever it is. What's the worst?
Who is statistically the worst?
The Giants?
They got too much talent.
Spaghetti gets offended because of
that. No, you don't want to do that.
Whoever it is.
Okay.
Let's say I'm trying to think of who. But I want to think of one because it helps color the opinion a little bit.
The Packers couldn't really stop. Titans. Colts? Titans are right. Colts, maybe?
Colts.
Okay. Colts.
Okay.
I can't even.
That's right. Yeah. They play. Yeah, and they played the Colts. Okay,
yeah.
So that's fine.
Yeah.
The Colts defense has to go up against Damashek under center with the Steelers.
This is going to hurt your Roethlisberger ranking.
We get the ball.
Right here. That's
we get
whole
the ball.
Story.
We get the ball at our 35-yard line.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Three and out.
What happens? Yeah. Could I?
You know
could
what?
I go in there? The people don't. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Do they know it's me, or
yes.
do they think I look like
somebody
else?
That's a crucial question.
You don't look like anyone else.
Okay, they look
just
like okay. I look like me.
NFL,
it says now in at quarterback.
Yeah. Jew.
Dave.
Yeah.
No, Dave Damashek.
Here he comes, Damashek. Okay. 6 feet tall.
So this is right off a TV timeout.
Right.
They just
the crowd
Gene
is like
Steratore
35-yard line.
10 seconds. You got it.
Right.
And he steps out, and you're okay. I don't know.
What happens? I'm going to call, just so you know,
okay.
Obviously we're calling all runs. Maybe
well,
a
see,
screen.
That's
maybe
the,
a screen.
That's the problem because as soon as they see that you're in, having no film on you, they're going to lock it up on the outside and they're going to bring everybody.
Well, Maurice says that
and
he's not kidding.
In the box.
He's
10.
Not kidding when he says this. Maurice Jones-Drew says, he says, you would get hurt. On the first play.
That's why I
want to
say
why would
say
I get hurt?
I'm a guest.
It's not like you're made out of.
I'm a
you're not,
guest on your show.
You're not 1,000-pound robots out there. Like, why would I break? I break at the point at the time I step out on the field.
But still, before even if you were going to call all runs into a loaded box, you're not going to gain any yards.
Right. So
you still have the ball.
Maybe
have
on the
to hand
maybe
it.
The second play. Maybe I run a bootleg.
But that's the problem. I wouldn't want you to do that.
Why?
I'd advise against the bootleg.
That's where I might get hurt?
Yeah.
I
think that you could even get hurt handing the ball off, and then sometimes the defense can think that you still have it.
Uh-huh. They'll
give you one.
They'll give you one in the back.
They'll give you one. Well, and they'll just say, I thought you had the ball. It happened so fast.
I think I'm scared of the Colts, please. Now, here's the other thing, what I would do.
I feel better about you with Reggie Wayne.
Run. Oh, you know what? Hey, 84. Yeah, 84.
It's third and 13.
84. I'm going upstairs.
Would that be the play call in the huddle?
That's it.
I'm going upstairs.
When you get about 15 yards downfield, I'm going to call your name. Turn around like I'm going to throw it. But then when the DB bites, then turn it upfield.
Okay. I think you would be self-conscious in the huddle to the extent that you wouldn't be able to call a play.
What, you think
I
I'd
don't
be
think
nervous?
You would. I think you'd be so nervous. I don't think you would actually be able to physically get the words out. And I definitely don't think if you're when you're lined up under center and you're, I don't think you'd be able.
You don't
to
think I'm a leader of men.
No.
You don't think I would command the huddle.
That's a short way of saying what I was saying.
David Carr, is that what you think too? How you think of me?
I don't know. I mean, you just never been in that situation. It's a different environment.
I want to hear about that because this goes back to, and then we can cut it off here. I've taken up more than enough of both of your time, but let's talk about that. What goes on? Because I'm fascinated by the I'd love to spend like 5 hours with you and like here's what's happening at this part of game day.
Okay.
And like it's 4 hours before the game. Here's what I'm doing right now. I'd love to hear all that with more time. But okay. What's when you step into the huddle, what do you say? When's your first time you do it? In practice? In August? Or
are you talking about the very first time you step in the huddle with a team, a new team?
Yeah, I'm just wondering how do you – because you always hear, he has to show the team that he can be a leader of men. What do you do to make that clear?
I think the best way that you become a leader of the team is you know what everyone else's job is, right? And you want them to be their absolute best. So if you come in as a coach or an extension of the coaching staff, and you come in not trying to rah-rah guys. I don't like guys that do that. Like Eli Manning doesn't do that. He's not a rah-rah guy, but he knows what everybody's job is, and he's able to help them. If they have a question as the huddle's breaking, if Odell doesn't know what route he has, Eli can tell him instantly what route he has, what he is in the progression.
How often does that happen
every snap?
Like, okay, here's the play. Z2 48 banana right go.
Every snap, there's
Odell goes like, I don't know what that means.
Not Odell in particular, but there will be.
What is the string of vowels and sounds?
You got it. Say? But there's a coaching point for at least one of those guys on every snap, and either before the even before he calls the play.
That might be different from what they saw.
So oh yeah,
based
well, I'll
on
get
everything
the play call.
Happening in the game.
Yeah.
By the way, you need to.
I'll get the play call in my headset, and I'll go right to my tight end. Say it's a certain play that he might get the ball. Like, hey, make sure you really lean and give me like an indicator before you break it 12 yards, and then I'll call the play. Ready, break, go to the line. Then, oh, my Z just forgot what the route was on this play. Well, now I got to tell you. All right, I get lined up. The running back doesn't know who to block because they just put running backs in the game because they're good running backs. Most of the time, they have no idea in pass protection, so you have to tell these guys. There's only about a handful of guys that even know what they're doing. So you're literally back there, and I've done.
How
this
do you
before.
Tell that? How do you say that?
Oh, I say, okay, well that's the middle linebacker for the offensive line. I get him set. 54 is the mic, and I step back. I say, you have 27 and 33. If they hit me, it's on you. Okay, 27 and 33. You good?
That's what you're saying when
oh,
the
yeah.
QB stands up at the
that's
line. I thought
saying.
They were always IDing the mic.
They are IDing the mic, but then they go to the running back and make sure because he's your last line of defense. If they get through those suckers, this is the only guy between you and a headache, right? So you tell him or you have him and him. And then I've done this a couple times and I know other quarterbacks have done it. Now these are his two guys, but he also has to scan the other side before he releases in his route just to be sure, right? The offensive line hasn't missed someone or they rotated and they brought somebody else in case I miss it before the snap because I can move the protection before the snap, but after the snap, we're locked in, right? So before he leaves, as the ball is coming, now I see the safety rotate, and now they're coming over here from Damashek's side. And I've literally grabbed or yelled at Ahmad Bradshaw or whoever it is, hey, over here, as I have the ball, and I'm dropping back, and then he slides over, picks it up.
Wow. I'm always skeptical that you can even hear each other. I'm like, what's the QB at the line of scrimmage yelling?
When you're
the receivers, there's no way. He's 25 feet away. It's the joint's rocking. He can't hear them.
I don't think they can actually hear you, but you give off enough body language and there's certain signs that you have. For receivers, now the running backs, they can hear you. Yeah, they can hear you.
What are they? What's the weirdest conversation you've had in the huddle?
I don't know. Stuff about not football.
You talk about stuff.
Oh, yeah, stuff that doesn't.
Like where we're going to dinner
tonight? Let's see. So Martellus Bennett played with the Giants. I was in a game late with Martellus Bennett. And we get in the huddle and I call a play. And I'm about to – I tell them what the play is. There was a TV timeout. So we're kind of just hanging out. And he's like, hey, man, you know what? I wish I could have seen you more this year. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I wish we could have hung out. You know, because I don't know if I'm going to be here this year or after this year because we weren't very good. And I was a starting tight end and we kind of sucked. and I'm probably not going to be here. I wish we could have hung out more. I'm like, all right, dude, cool, sounds good. Break, and then I throw the ball to him, and then he's all excited, and he comes back, and he's like trying to rag on Eli. Like, oh, Eli didn't throw me the ball enough, and I'm like, the whole thing, you know?
You fell into his trap.
I fell right into it. And I fed it to him. I fed him the ball, and then like,
we should have hung out. Like, oh, that deserves a pass.
Here, I throw you the ball.
You get one.
And then so that stuff happens all the time. Yeah. Oh,
that's funny.
See, that's the best. That's my favorite stuff. All right. Anything else, Handsome, that you wish to cover with David Carr while we have him?
I'm just excited to be here with him, Mike.
I'd like to do this again. I thought this was a great virgin run here.
Hold on.
Yes.
Eddie
I have
has
one. We're Bakersfield guy. I adopted Bakersfield as my city.
Yeah, his girlfriend.
Is that right?
What do you think about this, David Carr? What do you make of this guy? He loves a little too much that his girlfriend, he has a longtime girlfriend, but she doesn't live in L.A. She lives in Bakersfield. He likes that. He likes to let his hair down.
I like the city. I mean, she works there. It's her job. She works for ABC, the KERO station.
She'd like him to move to Bakersfield to support her career, but he says no.
He won't do it.
She's not doing this. She's not looking to stay there long term. But
that's what I get a lot of times.
It's a two-year contract.
People aren't looking to stay in Bakersfield long term.
She'd like to be out there. She'd like you to be by her
There's
side.
There's some nice areas in Bakersfield.
I agree. I've been there a little over a year and a half. So
some good spots.
The Carr lead quarterback.
Yeah,
She promoted it on her on the station. So,
okay,
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, there you
yeah,
go.
Perfect.
See, he's asking you for a little money.
Yeah, he is.
We probably already paid.
But you guys come up constantly. I was there a few weeks ago for a festival, and like, oh, you work at the NFL. Like, could you get like the Carr brothers? I was like, I don't have like say over this family to bring
it
up.
It sounds like you just brought it up.
Oh, it happened already. I mean, it happened already, but like I just like they yeah, like you guys up there. I mean, it's big time stuff. And a lot of Raider fans too.
A lot of Raider fans. Yeah, you're right.
I like when people hit me up for Super Bowl tickets. Well, you work at the NFL? Like, yeah, that's
it. Oh yeah, endless supply right here in my back pocket.
So they're the celebrities. The Carr brothers.
It's not close.
Joey Porter doesn't even put a dent into that.
It's not close.
Unfortunately.
Joey Porter's still out there with his pit bulls or whatever he has?
I see Joey every once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do. Yeah. I mean, I played against him, so I don't really like him. You know, we're from the same city, and we talk. We're cordial, but he's a linebacker for the Steelers. I'm not going to be a big fan.
Next time, what we have to do is we have to spend at least 20 minutes talking about the weirdest game in NFL history if you look at the stat sheet.
He knows. That's the game I was referencing just now. Why I wouldn't like it.
I believe the final score from Heinz Field, and this is the reason I think I said 2006 is because it was because it was Tommy Maddox, so it would have been on three.
Yeah, I was going to say three or four, maybe.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Around 2003, 2004-ish, the Houston Texans come to Heinz Field. The Steelers are very good.
We're a high-potent offense ourselves.
They come in. Final score, well, first of all, can you dig that one up there, Spaghetti? Because the stats are just insane.
It's incredible.
What year do you think it is?
I think it's 2003-ish, 2004-ish, somewhere
around. Not to give anything away, but I only remember completing one legitimate pass down the field in that game. Not to give the stats away.
Texans
to Billy
at
Miller.
Steelers. And, all right, I can't.
24-6?
That's it.
Yeah.
Read the stat line.
We're high post. 24 points on the road is pretty good.
The punchline is the final score, but it's hard to fathom that a game could be decided 24-6 in favor of the Texans over the Steelers when you read the stats to this game. How many yards did the Steelers put up? I mean, they had a massive offensive output. The David Carr-led Texans, I think, had about 4 yards of offense that day.
I think that's probably
and
a little on the high side.
And it was 24-6. It's the craziest stat game.
Houston had 47 total yards.
Way more than I remember.
One by three touchdowns.
Three fumbles, one lost. Four sacks.
It's like they say.
Had the ball for 20 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Texans had the ball for 20
minutes. Yeah.
20.
Shame.
Full minutes.
Yeah, it's about what you do when you have it, not how long you've got it for.
See, we could have had David Carr break down Case Keenum because he supports him and all that and what he thinks about the Broncos, but that's he's – you and I can have that conversation.
Right. Boring. Handsome. Talk about that anytime.
David Carr, he provides real insights about what happens
Let's ask him to come back again.
I think that's what I'm getting at.
I see. Okay.
I have to do things in a roundabout way. Right. That's why you wouldn't want me as your starting quarterback. I'm not confident enough to just say to come right out with it. David Carr, come in. This show is the one that matters. You know, I don't do that. It's not my way.
I like the show if that helps.
That makes me feel good.
That's good.
Because I'm vain. And so I live on that kind of feedback. you know?
But do you already have it and you just want it fed to
yes.
you?
Like
you I
already...
don't. Yeah, yeah. Never enough. Okay. Never enough.
I'm just checking.
No.
Afterwards, he'll ask you in the next three times he'll see you.
Okay.
He'll say, "Hey, that was really good, wasn't it?"
And yeah. I would say
he already said it was.
That. Even if
on your show,
even if
it was
it's
good.
Like when we've gone through that door, he'll say, "Hey, so did you enjoy that?" And you're like, "Yeah, I said that 2 minutes ago on the show." And you have to say,
"I'm starting to figure it out."
I'm not hugging you. That's for sure. At the end of any of you after this show's done. All right, listen. The great David Carr, really delightful stuff. We were excited to get you in finally, and hope
I had a good time.
A
really
two-year wait again, and mazel tov to you on the latest.
Thank you.
Number five.
Congratulations. Yeah, thank you very much.
That's exciting.
Handsome Hank, a pleasure to see you. Eddie Spaghetti, thanks. Happy birthday once again.
It's Eddie's birthday today.
Yesterday.
Wow.
He's going out for a wild night on the weekend. You should join him. I've already.
Is Kent going?
I can't do it. I'm not.
I guess we'll play the outro again, but Ken has been invited.
Ken's been invited.
I've been talking to Ken, yeah. And I was going to let you know, too, handsome. So.
You're going to hug him when you see him? Should people
handshake.
People who work with well, we'll have that. We'll pick up
we'll pick that one up.
That conversation up after the birthday party. We'll see who hugged and who kissed each other and all that jazz after the weekend is completed. In the meantime, play the music now. Let's go. We have places to go, people to meet. Do it, man. Bears. Eli Manning's as good as Roethlisberger. All right. I'm sorry that you had to hear that, too.
I enjoyed it. Right. I enjoyed it.
So, for David Carr, Handsome Hank, the birthday boy, Eddie Spaghetti, and everybody else, go find Tank Lawrence on social media, Carson Palmer, so on and so forth. Until early next week, it's been a thin slice of heaven.